Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Welcome to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. If this is your first time joining me, I am happy to have you here, and I hope that you are able to become a regular listener. And if this is not your first time joining me, welcome back, and thank you so much for tuning in again. As you saw from the title, we will be talking about how to get over a crush. By the time you listen to this episode, it will be after Valentine's Day. And I know that Valentine's Day is a day full of love and joy for a lot of people, but for other people, Valentine's Day can be a struggle. And one of my very first episodes talks about how to handle your Valentine's Day blues. But outside of Valentine's Day, there might be somebody who you just envision having a relationship with, or you just like something about them and you wish that you could spend more time with them. And so you might find yourself having feelings for someone who you are not in a relationship with, and it is driving you insane. So I imagine that that's probably what drove you to this episode. Before we get into the specifics on ways to get over a crush, I want to ask you a couple of very simple but important questions. Exactly who is your crush, and does this person even know you? I know for some people that might seem like a silly question or insulting even, but sometimes you can have a crush on someone who doesn't even know you exist, right? If you think about having a crush on your favorite athlete, your favorite entertainer, or your favorite influencer. Many times you can have a crush on someone who doesn't even know who you are, right? And so sometimes it can feel pretty silly to find yourself having some real feelings about someone whom you've never met. But the reason why I think this is important to identify is because I think it'll help you put some things into perspective as we go along today. So asking yourself, I want you to answer, who is my crush? Who is this person? And does this person even know me? Okay. Is this a celebrity? Is this an entertainer? Is this the CEO of the company that you work for? Is it your pastor? I know that can be uncomfortable to answer, but it happens, right? Is it your pastor? If this person who you're crushing on is somebody that doesn't know you, then you have to ask yourself, do you have access to this person, or are you likely to have any interactions with this person? Now, I know that anything is possible, but I want you to think about whether it's probable. Yes, my favorite celebrity could knock on my door tomorrow, but is that likely? Probably not. And so I'm not trying to make light of your crush, but I'm asking you to think about these very real questions, because something drove you here to find out how you can remove this person from your mind, remove this person from your heart so you can move on. After you answer, who is this person? I want you to ask yourself, is this person available? Okay. Before we go into any of the other things, I want to know, is this person even available? And you already know why I'm asking you this question. It's because sometimes we can find ourselves attracted to or interested in someone who is not available. They're married, or they're already in a relationship, or they kind of have something else going on the side, or they're already in a situationship, or they're engaged, whatever it is, it equates to not available for you. And so when we start crushing on someone who is not available to us to even pursue a relationship, then we set ourselves up for a disappointment. So first things first, I want you to ask yourself, who is this person? Does this person even know who I am? And are they available? Okay, so that way you can put some things into perspective as we go along. The next thing that I think would be important for us to think about is, how do we even know if what we're experiencing is a crush? I mean, sometimes we think of a crush as something that's only experienced by little kids, or we might think of a crush as something that is experienced by teenagers who like each other and have the hard eyes every time they see one another, right? I mean, we can probably look at it that way. But let us not fool ourselves into thinking that as adults, how we feel isn't similar. When I was looking online to see if there were any formal definitions of crush, there are not any what I would consider to be like clinical or formal definitions of crush. But most of the ones that are out there have some similar key words that pretty much say a crush is a romantic or intense love or admiration for someone that is short-lived. Okay, I'm a little bit on the fence about the short-lived piece, because I think sometimes a crush can last a little bit longer than you want it to. Hence, probably what got you to listening to this episode. And I found a really great article on Insider.com by a psychologist by the name of Dr. Buki Kalawale. I'm pretty sure I butchered her name, but I will be sure to link the article. But in this article that she contributed to on Insider.com, she says, quote, "Crushes are rooted in fantasy and tend to happen when you don't know much about a person, but idealize what they are like." I'll say that again. She says, quote, "Crushes are rooted in fantasy and tend to happen when you don't know much about a person, but idealize what they are like." So this says to me that when we have a crush on somebody, we only know small pieces of information about the person, and then we assume, based on our values, based on our interests, that they would be a good match for us. And we assume that a relationship with that person would be great because we have fantasized about it, or we have romanticized them, or we have idealized them. I will be sure to put a link to this article in our show notes. But regardless of how we formally define a crush, I say that the most important piece is that the feelings are real, right? Whether it's somebody that you've only been knowing a month, or it's somebody that you've been knowing a year, or somebody that you have been fantasizing about on TV, on the radio, on social media for a while, those feelings feel like they are real love. And it can be frustrating when you're trying to make sense of what's going on with you. It can be confusing trying to make sense of interactions that you have with this person. I mean, there are a lot of different emotions that can come up when you are attracted to somebody. And one of the ones that often comes up, and I imagine you might be here too, is confusion, like, or ambivalence. Do I wait? Do I wait to see if we could possibly be together, or do I move on? So I want to talk about some ways to think through whether you should move on or not, and discuss some ways, if you do get to that point, of how to get over your crush. So grab paper and pen, or take out your notes app, so we can start to process some strategies to help you get over your crush. One of the first things I encourage you to do is to be honest with yourself. I think we can get into unnecessary emotional turmoil when we deny how we feel. And this can show up in the form of denying our feelings altogether or denying the intensity of our feelings. So be honest with yourself. Don't deny that you are interested in somebody. Don't deny that you are attracted to somebody or how much you like them or want to be with them. I'm not saying that you should broadcast this. Remember, this tip is to be honest with yourself. Okay? When we're honest with ourselves, we're able to think deeper about our crush and ask ourselves, why do I like this person? Why do I want to be with her? Why do I want to be with him? Is it because I have a genuine interest in him? Or is it because she's hot and everybody else wants her? So if I get her, it will say something about me. So do you see what I mean about the benefit of being honest with yourself about your interest or your attraction to someone and how it'll give you more information to think clearer and deeper about the nature of your crush. As you're examining your thoughts and your feelings towards this person, please don't judge yourself for being attracted to them in the first place. That's something that I've heard over and over is, oh my gosh, like I should not like her. Or I wish that I didn't feel this way about him. Sometimes you can feel silly or you can feel embarrassed. You can feel frustrated with yourself. But as you are examining your true thoughts and feelings for this person, don't judge yourself. Let your feelings be what they are. Okay? This is not the point. You're not at the place at this step to criticize yourself. I want you to think critically, but I don't want you to criticize yourself. The next thing I want you to do after you acknowledge how you truly feel about this person, no matter how deep it is, the next thing I want you to do is to examine a couple of areas. This first area is investment. This means I want you to think about how much are you investing and how much is this person investing? Now, if we go back to the top of the episode and we answered the question of, does this person even know you? Do you even have access to this person? Then we can pretty much already answer that the investment isn't mutual, right? Because the person doesn't know you, or if they do know you, like let's say, for example, it's the CEO of your company. And maybe you do have access to this person, maybe in a meeting, but it's not the kind of romantic mutual investment, right? Maybe you bring this person coffee or something along those lines. But again, you can see maybe you have a crush on this person, but the investment isn't mutual, okay? But let's say maybe you do have access to this person and you have frequent interactions with this person. I want you to think about how much you are investing. If you realize that you are putting in all of the effort in initiating contact, initiating dates, orchestrating all of the incidents of your, I wish you could see my air quotes, accidentally bumping into this person, if you're liking all of their pictures and they're not doing much, if anything at all, to show you that they're invested in you, then I want you to try an experiment. I want you to back off a little bit and match their investment and see what happens. Doing this can be really hard. I know usually when I recommend people doing this experiment, they freeze up because they worry. But what if that means I don't hear from them at all? And then my question is, don't you want to know that? What does that mean if you don't hear from them at all? Doing this can be hard, but it works wonders in helping your clarity, and it's sobering. It helps you to see really where this is going or where it is and where it's not. Okay, so you're examining the level of investment on both parts. And then you're also going to look at the quality of your interactions. Now, remember again, if this is someone who you don't have access to, then it's not likely that you will have any interactions to judge at this point. Maybe you reach out to them on social media and they may retweet you or they may like one of your pictures, but that's about as far as it goes. But for the rest of us who may have interactions with this person on a regular basis, I want to ask you, how do you interpret your interactions with this person? This is important to discern because maybe you have misinterpreted or misperceived their interactions and how they see you. For instance, you might be thinking that you're the cool girl who they can talk to about anything and hang out with, but really they might see you as the person who's only there for them when they're bored or when they're between relationships. That's not fair to you. Are you thinking that because he opened the door for you, that it's because you're so special, only to find out that he doesn't see it that way? That's just who he is, and he opens the door for most women, right? So it's important that you examine your interactions with this person. Are you reading more into your interactions with her than she is? Are you reading more into your conversations with him than he is? Okay, so after you're honest with yourself, you're going to examine the level of investment and you're going to examine the interactions and whether they are being interpreted the same way. Now, let's say you've done all of this and you've got some evidence that maybe, yes, you are doing more of the investment and maybe you're misperceiving things in terms of the interactions, or maybe there was a point in time where the interactions were mutual and the investment was mutual, but it's kind of backed off, but you still have a crush on this person, okay? And you have decided enough is enough. I need to get over this crush. Okay, now down to business. You want to set a deadline, okay? Well, Dr. Perry, how can I say in a week I'm going to stop liking this person? No, that's not what I mean. I mean, you want to set a deadline for yourself for how long you will wait to see if this relationship materializes. How long will you wait to see if this person likes you just as much as you like them? Even if this person says they want to be with you, but they're not showing any signs, you're still going to ask yourself, how long am I going to wait? How long do you want your heart to be suspended in time waiting for what you can already see? I say set a deadline. Make it a reasonable deadline. Okay, maybe you're talking to this person and you want to give it another couple of weeks. You want to give it a month. But remember, the deadline that you set also delays your healing process. So feel free, if you want to set this deadline out for 6 months, go right ahead. But remember, within 6 months, you're also hanging in the balance for 6 months. Setting a deadline helps you to start the grieving process. If this person has not shown me within the next month that they want to call me, that they're interested in getting to know me more, they know for sure that I'm interested in them, and they still have not shown any signs, consistent signs. Let me go back and say that, consistent signs. Then it's time that I set a deadline to see what I need to see, or maybe I already see what I need to see, and move on. As you are getting over your crush, I want you to manage your expectations. Your feelings are real, and so they are not going to go away overnight. there's going to be a real grieving process that happens. And the time that it takes for you to get over somebody will vary. And so managing your expectations of your own grieving process can help you have better expectations of other people, because not everyone is going to understand how you feel, and they may be dismissive or minimize your true thoughts and feelings for this person. Part of managing your expectations in this phase is to release the fantasy. You're going to have to release the fantasy that this is the person for you. They have so much potential and the relationship would be so awesome. And maybe it could be so awesome. Maybe it would be so awesome, but it's not today. And so I want you to realize and accept the facts and release the fantasy. Part of what makes a crush live on is the fantasy that we can create, that if I could just show this person how much I like them, if I can just get this person to see that I'm so wonderful, if I could just get this person to realize that I am the one for her, I am the one for him, our relationship would be so amazing. My life would be so much better. You want to release that fantasy, okay? Don't get caught up in thinking about a future relationship with this person. And also, don't get caught up in replaying the memories that pop up in your head of the times that maybe you have bumped into this person or the time that you have spent with this person. Now, I know that our brains don't work like a light switch, and so it's not like you can erase those memories. But what I'm suggesting is not to let those memories get you sidetracked and caught up into that cycle of crushing and waiting again. Crushing and waiting, waiting and crushing. Don't allow yourself to be swept away with those memories. And as Christians, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now, you may not be able to control the memory popping in your head, but you can control whether you dwell on it. If you look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it tells us what things we are to dwell on. It says, whatsoever things are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise, think on these things. Now, let me be clear. I'm not suggesting at all that thinking about this person is necessarily sinful or having memories of this person is evil or anything of the sort. But what I am suggesting is to discipline your mind so that you don't allow yourself to be swept away with memories or fantasies even. And this is where emotional maturity comes in. You can tell yourself that no matter how much you like someone, you're not going to put your life on hold. You're not going to delay your purpose. You're no longer going to deceive yourself. You're not going to wait on someone who is not interested or invested in you. Another way to help you get over your crush is to identify those triggers. Now, again, remember we talked about sometimes those memories pop up on you, but there are also things that are intentional, right? So if we figure out what things further promote your interest in this person, are there certain places, are there certain people and conversations who remind you of this person? Are there certain songs and movies that you watch or TV shows that y'all used to watch together? Or maybe they are on TV. I don't know. Being on social media. I want you to identify those triggers so you can begin to avoid or manage those triggers as best you can. Okay. Remember, we're saying that getting over a crush doesn't happen overnight, but we also don't want to continue to feed the crush either if the goal is to get over this person. This might even include setting boundaries on talking to this person. If you've always been available to this person, or you guys talk on a regular basis, but you realize like this isn't really going anywhere, or you're not sure where they stand, or they always send you random text messages, leaving you breadcrumbs, whatever your specific scenario is, only you know. But the point I'm making to you is to identify your triggers. Maybe you go months without talking to this person, they ghost you, and then they pop up on your radar again, and then the crush comes right back. It happens. It's okay. Now what you have to do is empower yourself to take control of the situation. Don't allow someone to have control over your emotions. God has given us a sound mind, and part of that sound mind is making wise decisions. Here is my favorite way to get over a crush, and that is to know your value. I know one of the first things that our mind does is jump into comparisons and thinking that something is wrong with us just because a person doesn't want us or doesn't want us in the way that we'd hope that they would. Don't get caught up into thinking that something is wrong with you. Know your value. Take a pen, write in your notes app all the things that you have to offer to a potential partner or to a relationship. What do you value about yourself? Knowing your value will help you with your narrative. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Let's say I like this guy and he kind of seems to like me too, but then maybe he decides he's going to try to work things out with his ex. If I don't know my value, then I'm going to be really disappointed and hard on myself because I wasn't supportive enough. I'm not small enough. Maybe my skin isn't light enough. Maybe my hair isn't long enough. Maybe the job I have isn't good enough for him, because maybe his ex has this prestigious job. You see how I can get into this negative cycle of putting myself down and thinking that I have to compete and audition so someone else can see my worth? When I know my value, yes, I can be disappointed that the relationship or the crush never flourished into a relationship like I wanted, but it does not diminish my value. And if it does, that's okay. I can use that information to start working in that area of my heart. When you know your value, it also helps you not to give into the temptation to be envious of whoever they do choose, or to talk down on the other person who they decide to be with. No, that's not what we are called to do. Knowing our value can help me go from maybe I wasn't good enough for this person to maybe this person was not God's best for me. They may be a good person, but they may not be God's best for me. Maybe this person is a jerk, and that has nothing to do with me. Maybe what I have to offer isn't what they are looking for. That doesn't have to be a negative thing. Or maybe this person does see your value, but they know they're not ready for you. They know that they are not able to give you what you want and need. So you see how knowing your value can help you with your narrative. If you don't know your value, you always come out on the losing end. Always. Because it puts you in a competition comparison mode. You're not auditioning to be in a relationship with someone. And the last way to help you get over your crush is to give God your questions. Whenever you have a crush, whenever I've had a crush, whenever I've talked to people who have had a crush, there's a ton of questions going on. why this, when that, how come this? Give God your questions. God, why am I attracted to this person? What is it that I like about this person, and what does that reflect about me? It doesn't have to be anything negative, but maybe I like a guy who has these particular qualities. Maybe I'm really attracted to a woman who has these particular characteristics. Maybe the person that I'm talking to reflects a pattern of me being attracted to people who are just not that into me. That's a hard revelation, but it's something that you need to know. Ask God, who do you have for me? This process of getting over your crush can be just as painful as actually going through a breakup. But let it not be in vain. This process of getting over a crush can be eye-opening. The Word of God tells us to be anxious for nothing, and this includes having a relationship. I'll leave you with one of my favorite scriptures. Whenever there is something or someone in my heart that I really, really want, or I think I really, really want, but it's just not materializing the way that I would like it to, I'm always drawn back to Psalm 84, verse 11. And this is the English Standard Version. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." And might I add my own word, no good thing or person does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, I'm not a Bible scholar, and I'm not big on adding words into the scripture, but I do believe in taking the Word of God and personalizing it for me, for my improvement. No good thing or person will he withhold from me. If this person is truly for you, then you will see it, you will know it, and it will be mutual. Before we go into our prayer time, let me leave you with this affirmation or declaration. And I want you to write this declaration down and say it to yourself out loud. Read it to yourself as many times as you need to. I want who wants me. I want who wants me. I want who wants me. This is not me justifying and piecing together reasons to know that this person wants me and pulling all of these different examples together, but it is a knowing in my soul and in my spirit that this person wants me just as much as I want them. And that, my friend, will give you peace. Let us move now into our prayer time. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to come together. Thank you for every listener who downloads this episode. I pray that there is something said today that will help them have a fresh perspective on this relationship or this aspired relationship or this relationship that they aspire to have. I pray that you enlighten them and give them a knowing in their heart of which direction you want them to go. Help them to know that what you have for them and who you have for them, they won't be perfect, but they will be perfect for them. I'm asking that you begin to heal any areas of brokenness, heal any areas of void or lack in their lives. And in this healing, I pray that they are able to move forward with clarity, with dignity, and with grace. And it is in your son's name that I pray. Amen. Well, that is all that I have for us. I know that that is plenty. This is a pretty thought-provoking topic that we've discussed today. So if you've learned anything today that you had not considered in getting over a crush, why don't you share this with a friend so that you all can talk about it? Also, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. to the Amazing with Grace podcast, I would certainly appreciate it. Until next time, take care.